Hello and welcome to Songdoers, one of the only podcasts ever made. I am pleased to announce that we have a new sponsor, baseball. Not any league, player, brand, or team, but the sport as a whole. It's fantastic. You got the bleachers, you got them from spring till fall, you got a dog, a drink, and an umpire's call. You got everything. Soccer is more popular worldwide, but that's just because people are frightened of baseball. The ball comes flying in toward the batter, sometimes at speeds higher than 100 miles per hour. Try kicking a soccer ball that fast. You can't. And you never will. Just give up. F**k. Anyway, enjoy the episode. Episode 9. Frank Graham. Frank Graham is the writer, director, and producer of the 1990s musical The Lemonade Stand. But while lemonade stands sell lemonade, which is a drink that tastes good, Frank himself was more like what lemonade is made out of. Lemons! In that he was sour and cruel. Frank began writing The Lemonade Stand when he was in the 6th grade. He didn't finish writing it until he was 55 years old. When he finally shopped it around in 1994, no one wanted to produce it. They said no one was interested in lemonade anymore. They said it was over, man! Lemonade was dead, and the new drink was Appletini's! But Frank believed the public still was interested in lemonade. They just needed a musical to remind them how much lemonade totally rocked! So he sold his collection of 82 Babe Ruth baseball cards, and produced the darn thing himself. After renting an expensive playhouse in downtown New York City, he ran auditions. The star of the musical was a young girl named Betty, and Frank knew finding the right Betty would be difficult. She had to be able to sing, dance, act, and make enough lemonade every show to fill the glasses of everyone in a 1,200-seat theater. Plus, she had to look 5 years old. After weeks of auditions, he finally found his star, Brenda Lighthouse. Brenda was 8 years old, but she could play five convincingly, and she had lemonade stand experience, which impressed Frank. But once the rehearsals started, Frank went from being impressed to being a nightmare to work with. And not a fun nightmare like Nightmare Before Christmas, but a scary nightmare like the horrors that fill your mind when you sleep. He yelled, clapped loudly in anger, and menacingly tore up the pages of his script while looking at you in the face. When the parents of his actors complained, he banned all adults from rehearsals. Some parents withdrew their children from the process. The ones who didn't bought into Frank's notion that anger and toxicity were the only way to get a good performance out of children. 1 week before opening night, after a rehearsal at which Frank had screamed so loudly at the children that his voice was hoarse and bloody, he went searching downstairs in the theater to try to find a cough drop. He entered a small room with a steel door that shut behind him. He was locked in the basement of the theater, and there were no cough drops in this room. Frank would be stuck in that room for more than 18 hours, and according to him, something miraculous happened while he was stuck down there. He was visited by three ghosts. The first two ghosts were easily disposed of. He trapped them in a vacuum cleaner. But the third ghost wouldn't fit inside the vacuum cleaner because it was full of other ghosts. And also, the third ghost was very large, like Andre the Giant. His name was Goso, and he circled around Frank over and over until Frank was dizzy and fell to the ground. "What do you want?" pleaded Frank. "For you to be nice to children who work in theater," answered Goso. "But I need them to perform to the level I know they're capable of, and fear is the best way to achieve this," explained Frank. "Incorrect," replied Goso, who then took out a ghost scroll and unraveled it. "There are three other ways to get exemplary performances out of your actors. Way the first, drugs. Way the second, replace them with lifelike robots. And way the third, and this is the preferred way, connect emotionally. Make them feel appreciated. Listen to their ideas. Trust them to make decisions about their characters. And if there is a difference in opinion regarding the direction of the project, explain to them your reasoning. You will find that a collaborative relationship built on respect will yield the best results."
"But they're kids," Frank said.
"The ingenuity of a child's mind may surprise you. Here, I'll assume the mind of a child, an ability all ghosts have. Let's see if we can collaboratively come up with a better idea than just you by yourself.
Well, began Frank, I do have a problem at the end of Act One. The song that moves us from the kitchen to the front lawn doesn't feel exciting enough.
Why don't you put some fart noises in the song? Asked the ghost excitedly. And then me and my fellow children could wrinkle our noses and say we need to get out of this stink-filled kitchen and into some fresh air. And you could hire a master farter to sit in the orchestra and eat beans before every show.
Frank nodded gravely. So Goso put his lips to the vacuum cleaner and sucked out his two brothers, and also some dirt, which made Goso cough in a silly way right in Frank's face, which kind of pissed him off. After that, the ghosts disappeared through the steel door, opening it for Frank to exit. The next morning at rehearsal, Frank had enough drugs for every child in his production. On opening night, many of the children were ill, and the musical got very poor reviews. Listen now to one of the songs from that musical, My Stylish Friend. Here he comes, down the lane, wearing a blazer that would drive you insane. His style, far and away, would be the coolest thing you'd seen in days. But you cannot see him, and only I can say. My imaginary friend has impeccable style. He can throw a baseball a country mile. He's extra good and barely bad, but you'll never meet him, which is sad. His multicolored coat and his batting stance and his dungarees are only three of 18 million things you'll never see. My imaginary friend is just about dead. The chemicals inside the clothes he wore seeped in his head. He was a pro ball player of the 1970s. He made a movie overseas. His shirt was red, but he gonna be my new best friend. Slide his denim jeans on your back end. Big shoes to fill. It's okay, just do every single little thing I say. Come on, new best friend, it's lemonade time. But you're still
Well, that's it for this week's episode of Songdoers. Someone has been emailing me at songdoers@gmail.com with love poems. They are signed by a secret admirer. If you are the secret admirer, you don't need to unmask yourself, but I should tell you that unfortunately I am taken. I do have a list of a few other people you can have a crush on, though. My neighbor Bill, the ice cream man, campfire rants, or my identical twin. He has the exact same voice as me, but looks totally opposite. He smells similar, but different, and his podcast is all about haircuts. Thank you.